a lot of people go looking for peace without, and they forget that within their deepest level, they are peace. They are peaceful. They only need to quiet the storms surrounding them to remember that. Also, cereal is delicious. My name is Justin McElroy. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. As I said, my name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am cereal, committed, enthusiastic, rational, ethereal, awesome, love it.
And you can tell he wrote that before. This is a relaxing show that will allow you to just kind of, for 30 minutes or so, think about cereal. That's all we ask of you is that you take this time, set it aside. You say, hey, for this time, I'm just thinking about cereal. Give your brain a little break, a little vacation for your brain. We're going to have some news. We will have some reviews. And then we've got an exciting question in our third act that you're just going to love. But it has been a few weeks without an empty bowl. And Dan, this news has really piled up.
Yeah, like a towering bowl of Cheerios. It's piling up. And I think the best place to dive in is with the newest of the news, which is that Kellogg's is about to release Fruit Loops Rainbow Sherbet Scoops. And that word always trips me up. Is it sherbet? Is that how it's said?
I've heard it both ways. Sherbet versus sherbet, right? That's the question that we're... It definitely says on the box... Sherbet. Yes.
Okay, we'll go with that.
There's a lot of debate about this, apparently. Sherbet. There's, I guess, both are popular spellings. I don't think that there's a necessarily right and wrong one here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's beside the point, because...
It is. It's fascinating, though.
The pronunciation is secondary to the cereal itself. I cannot necessarily tell you what Rainbow Sherbet Scoops Fruit Loops would taste like as opposed to normal Fruit Loops, but they are sort of like the rounded Fruit Loops bloopers as opposed to the actual Fruit Loops loops.
Do you think these will have a different flavor than Fruit Loops?
Flavor-wise, I'm not sure, but I don't know if you're looking at this box here right now, Justin. But why don't you take a closer look at what's sort of obscured on the side of that box?
Oh, no.
Right?
Dan.
They tried to hide it. On the side of the box, it says...
This is supposed to be a meditative podcast about cereal.
Tucked away on the side of the box, it says, cools your mouth.
That's amazing. Okay, Dan, you know what's amazing about this? Is that it's not on the front, and this is pretend. It's not on the front of the box. It is on the side like a disclaimer, like a low birth weight disclaimer. It is on the side just saying like, hey, if you are going to eat this with your mouth, you should know it will cool your mouth, and it will be very unpleasant.
Yeah, so to those who are not caught up on the latest cereal meta, there have been two cereals now that have tried this mouth-cooling technology. There was the Elf on the Shelf cereal, and then there was the, of course, Icy cereal, both of which use this, like, menthol-y chemical formula to try and have this mouth-cooling effect, which, I mean, I guess it does that, but at the expense of any enjoyability of the cereal at all, which is why it leads me to believe that maybe this won't taste any different, and that's literally the entire gimmick, is that it's Fruit Loops that cools your mouth. But I can't say I'm particularly excited for this cereal after learning that little hidden nugget of information.
Yeah. Oh, that is so sad, man. Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah. They had to have had some sort of like extra cooling stuff left over.
Juice.
That's why they felt
they like
had
paid.
Juice.
They bought in bulk.
if there is one thing I will point out that's charming about this box is that If you remember when the old Toucan Sam design had those crazy, like human fingers, now they finally have an instance where he needs to grip something, but he doesn't have those fingers
anymore.
Yeah, and
it looks terrible.
So he's kind of just like, I don't know, he seems like some sort of like vine-based Pokemon, like constricting it in his feathers, but...
Yeah, it's creeped into an uncanny valley between feather and finger. It's really unpleasant to see.
Yeah.
What might be a little more pleasant is Cinnamon Toast Crunch waffle cereal.
Yeah, so the next few items that we're going to be talking about all come from General Mills' recently announced spring new cereal lineup. And I would say the most exciting of those is probably, yes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch waffle cereal. Clearly meant to be like a competitor to Waffle Crisp. This is General Mills' take on the syrupy cereal micro genre, thus combining the obviously broad name recognition and name appeal of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and pairing that with this syrupy flavor as well. So we got square waffle pieces, naturally, as opposed to the more rounded cuboids of Waffle Crisp or the circular Eggo cereal. And I do think it's unique, the idea of combining maple and cinnamon flavor in a cereal. So I am definitely looking forward to this one.
I mean, I'll try anything. It looks good. The form factor has me a little worried. Normally pieces that big, I don't love. Do you think it will have a maple? I guess it'll have a maple.
It'd be kind of insane if they didn't have maple flavor.
I mean, the only reason is they don't say it on the box, but there's like pictures of maple syrup on the illustrated waffles. So that to me is like tantamount to promising some mapley flavor.
Well, right now I'm just like deeply scrutinizing this box to make sure the words "cools your mouth" are not hidden somewhere on
it. We have to check everything from now on. Some of these others look pretty good though.
Yeah, so in addition to Cinnamon Toast Crunch waffle, we've got two new varieties of Cheerios as well. The first being Fruity Cheerios, which I definitely
don't think... You gotta contextualize this for me, Dan. I think this is so wild.
Contextualize it how?
I guess it seems to me like they would have done... What am I thinking of where they've done, like, fruity before? Is there a fruity multigrain? Is that what I'm thinking of?
No, Fruity Cheerios have existed before, so I'm not...
Okay,
entirely,
so I'm not completely...
This is more like a returning classic rather than anything that's completely new.
Okay.
If I look back at older boxes of Fruity Cheerios, I do think that they changed the color distribution. I don't know how that bodes for the flavor. I mean, there was also the recent, like, Very Berry Cheerios, and those were more like... Like a mixed berry, very tangy, very raspberry, blackberry forward.
I've never had these, I don't think, but the I think the colors are really cool on these. I think this is a very cool palette, I will say, on the Fruity Cheerios.
Yeah, so to describe, it looks like we have normal, like the brownish beige Cheerios, red Cheerios, green Cheerios, and this like sort of tropical blue Cheerio as well, which is pretty unique, I would say. I mean, I'm guessing the flavor will kind of be like a fruit... Loops, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say since General Mills, like we mentioned in our last episode, their flagship fruity cereal is Trix, so they don't really have necessarily a precedent for that more generic, like, sweet fruitiness and what that might be. So we'll see. I mean, it's good to see that they're proudly boasting that these Cheerios are made with 100% whole grain oats, given that some recent Cheerios varieties have tried to slip in a little corn as well. I'm glad we're keeping this tradition here.
Yeah.
And yeah, those Fruity Cheerios will be paired with a more specifically fruited Cheerios flavor, that being Peach Mango Cheerios.
That sounds good.
Yeah, there have...
That sounds good.
There have been Peach Cheerios before. They were pretty good. A little like, you know... One note, the kind of thing that I didn't know if I want to eat a whole box of just Peach Cheerios, which is why they're adding a second note here of mango as well. And, like, I've had the Trader Joe's mango cereal was really good, and that HEB mango cereal was so good. So
yeah,
I do think,
really
like, mango is destined to be a major player in the cereal aisle, and this could be that star-studded debut.
What else, Dan? Is there any more of the spring lineup?
So the last new upcoming spring General Mills cereal is Chocolatey Chocolate Lucky Charms, which basically just takes chocolate Lucky Charms and adds chocolate-flavored marshmallows to it, which, you know, if you're familiar with sort of the architecture of different General Mills cereals, may leap out to you as being familiar, because this sounds just like Count Chocula at this point.
Yeah.
It does look like there are some normal Lucky Charms marshmallows still in there with the chocolate ones.
That is where it gets so confusing to me, Dan. Honestly, man. Like, the Lucky Charms strategy has seemed really weird to me from the jump, because what they are desperate to have people eat the Lucky Charms that are not the oat Lucky Charms. I understand that. If they had it their way, they wouldn't make the oat ones anymore. I feel pretty confident of that at this point. I feel like they're trying to make so many variants. But the addition of the rainbow, on the box, you see a bunch of chocolate cereal, 5 chocolate marshmallows, and then in this bowl is just an erstwhile rainbow and a unicorn head. It's so weird. I don't know why this looks bad. There's no like aesthetic pleasure to looking at this cereal. Like, and the idea that the box art just has 2 colorful marshmallows, it's so strange.
Yeah, it seems like they didn't really fully commit to the bit. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you remember that one Lucky Charms mixed up marshmallow cereal where they took the familiar Lucky Charms marshmallows and they made them different colors. So clearly they have the ability to just change the colors of the existing shapes we know and love. So I feel like it'd be a lot more fun to just have, like, brown-toned versions of all the different existing marshmallows. But yeah, having that just random marshmallow or rainbow marshmallow in your bowl of brown is going to be kind of an eyesore.
It's so strange.
And of course, yes, you have the problem of all non-original Lucky Charms varieties use corn-based pieces instead of oat. So, I mean, I guess that's also keeping in tradition with Count Chocula, but doesn't exactly make me excited about this.
It will just never hit the same. Some of the corn varieties I've been like lukewarm on, as opposed to actually like really disliking, but there's something about the hearty crunch of oat with the super sweetness of the marbits that just works better. I feel like when you have corn and that's like a lot thinner and it's a lot meltier texture wise, I feel like when you pair it with the marbits, it just gets into this like way too sugary, like way too one note bite that just isn't as good to eat.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. You can't take an established cereal legacy product that's known for its oatiness and just pull that rug out from under us and not expect there to be discrepancies flavor-wise.
What else has happened in the cereal news world, Dan?
There's another strange collaboration happening between General Mills cereals and Tomorrow X Together, which I guess is like a K-pop boy band, according to Google. And so they're just pairing with like Reese's Puffs and Lucky Charms and putting band members on the box. And like, I know that K-pop is obviously super popular in America, but I'd never heard of this particular group. And so it's kind of interesting to see these live-action humans on a box with animated cereal mascots, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've seen these in stores already. I just haven't bought them just because, like, I know what I'm getting into. But I look forward to seeing hundreds of boxes of these upcharged by $30 on eBay for the foreseeable future.
Dan, is this the real box art? Because this looks... this is wild. The design... like, the composition of this box is so strange. There's like a whole third of the box in the corner that's just plain red, like they didn't put box up there. It's so weird. It looks like they cut somebody out of it. Like they're cropping an ex-boyfriend or something out of the picture.
Well, there are 6 different editions of this box art, so maybe some of the others are more intelligently done, or maybe you're supposed to like put all the boxes
put them all together. You fold them in origami fashion,
create a castle of some sorts.
Oh, man, this next one looks good. Is this tied? Is this a trend? Is this on trend now?
Yeah, so you thought there'd only be one new waffle cereal coming out soon, but no.
You fool.
Post is also getting into the game. Post, you know, being the ones who make Waffle Crisp already, are now also making Fruity Pebbles waffles, which, again, doesn't say anywhere on the box that there's maple flavor involved, so it's really hard to say whether there will be maple flavor involved,
right,
or whether this is just another Fruity Pebbles-shaped cereal. But again, it would be kind of strange to not have maple syrup flavor involved. And they did already do that Fruity Pebbles, like Mrs. Butterworth syrup, if you remember, that neon red sort of goop that I still have.
That was
like
heinous.
I still have 7/8 of a bottle left fossilizing on top of my fridge just because I like the way it catches the sunlight in the afternoon. But maybe I can bust it out and try it on this cereal when I actually find it. It does seem that it's hard to tell just because, like, obviously on-box renderings of cereal tend to be very different from how the cereal itself is actually going to look, you know, what with the enlarged to show texture and all that. But
yeah,
I'm trying to determine whether this looks like the exact same shape of Waffle Crisp, just with the Fruity Pebbles speckled throughout them, or if this is like a more original square shape. I'm going to lean towards it being Waffle Crisp that's been touched up really well for the packaging, just because, you know, knowing how cereal companies like to save money with piece geometry, it would probably just make the most sense.
I think so, yeah.
So maybe it's just like Fruity Waffle Crisp more so than Fruity Pebbles.
That doesn't sound terrible.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to try them side by side with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch waffles.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I was just dunking on the box art for the Lucky Charms variant, but this frosted chocolate cake shredded wheat, I gotta say, man, this is some of the best box design I've seen in years. This is thrilling.
I have to agree with you so much.
It's cool, right?
So Post is launching just Post-branded frosted chocolate cake shredded wheat cereal, and it's just got this really, like, hip and cool, like, standout white box with, like, pops of brown chocolate cake on it.
It's so dramatic.
Yeah, you never really see white cereal boxes, I feel like. Ones that are just, like, entirely, like, cool white like this. It's definitely going to pop on shelves a lot, I think.
Yeah, it's so eye-catching.
The cereal looks pretty good, too. Like, I'm not opposed to any shredded wheat, but when you got stuff in the middle, that's when I'm interested. And from the looks of the broken apart piece that they have illustratively on the box, there are actual little chocolate chips inside of each shredded wheat biscuit, which just sounds fantastic. You know, as the both of us talk so often about putting chocolate chips in our
chocolate
cereal
chips,
bowl.
Yeah, they're all the time.
This seems destined, like little chocolate chip eggs waiting to hatch. Hatched eggs waiting to hatch.
Gosh, Dan, is that really it? Did we get through? There's more.
There's one more. And it's a new Great Value cereal. Great Value Blueberry Pie cereal, to be specific. And you know they're calling, they're beckoning all of the blueberry muffin tops / toaster
stands. It looks like, yeah, this is BBMT coded for sure. They're definitely trying to get the heat, the blueberry muffin tops heat.
Yeah, I have to wonder who, like, actually produces Great Value cereal, whether it is actually Malto Meal maybe making this.
I bet it's probably a lot of different manufacturers that they're just putting the white label on, if I had to guess. I don't know, but
hey,
that's pretty common for them, I think.
It's a nice looking cereal, and I bet it's going to taste phenomenal.
It makes you wonder if maybe companies make cereals that they change their mind about, and they're like, you know what? Here you go, Great Value. You take our apple fritter cereal. It was too weird for us to begin with.
Those suckers will sell anything.
And boy, Dan, it looks like the review segment on this week's episode is going to be a real treat.
A real Rice Krispies treat, to be specific. So I went out looking for new cereals the other week, and as is the case every single time I go into a Walmart to find cereal, I feel like I made an absolute, like, buffoonish spectacle of myself in the process, because, like, I get out of my car and it instantly starts, like, downpouring rain. So I'm running into this Walmart And then I'm just like sort of skulking around the place, soaking wet, and all I could manage to find were three different varieties of Rice Krispies treat. So I'm just carrying like a stack. I'm bumbling around with a big stack of Rice Krispies treats dripping wet.
It's that you have to wonder, like, the people working the checkout are looking at you like, he came in for that?
He came
into Walmart for three different kinds of Rice Krispies
treats? In the middle
treats?
Of a downpour? And of course, the second I step out of the building, the rain clears up, the sun peeks through the clouds, and like there's a rainbow, basically. But you know, I got three kinds of Rice Krispies treats out of the deal and tried them all in rapid succession. And I'll say, in escalating order of excitement, we first have Rice Krispies treats with Ghostbusters sprinkles, which...
Okay. Yes.
They just
green,
taste
white,
like,
I mean,
Rice Krispies treats. Like, there's no, even if you try to discern the presence of the sprinkles in, like, as you're taking a bite, it's borderline impossible because the whole thing is already crisply, crackly, chewy by design. So the sprinkles just blend in, let alone contribute any flavor to the mix at all. And as we kind of mentioned before, the green and white sprinkles aren't super immersively themed to the Ghostbusters franchise either, so it's kind of a ghost of a tie-in, I guess, perhaps thematically appropriately enough.
Yeah.
And then next I tried homestyle Rice Krispies treats with chocolate chips.
Oh, what makes these homestyle?
Yeah, I don't think the homestyle Rice Krispies treats sub-brand is entirely new, but I hadn't gotten around to trying them yet. Basically, the idea is that they're trying to make these more closely representing what it'd actually be like to make Rice Krispies treats at home. So they're thicker, like more marshmallowy, and rather than being like super compact and like uber cubular, these are more, you know, they got more rough edges. There's more airiness to them. They're more fluffed out, thick, dense. And while I don't think the chocolate chips that are sparsely scattered about them contributed much, just like the sprinkles, these are definitely like way tastier than your, you know, run-of-the-mill industrial cookie cutter Rice Krispies treats. They have a lot better texture, a lot richer flavor, and it doesn't feel like you're eating part of the packaging like it sometimes does with like the super processed ones.
Yeah,
so I think these are worth like paying a little bit more to get more out of it. And I mean, not that it's particularly hard to just make your own Rice Krispies treats truly home style, but
right.
In a pinch, I think that this is another of those cases like the Cinnagram Toast Crunch where it so eclipses the original that I see no reason to ever really go back.
Wow. That's pretty firm there, Dan.
Now, of course, the only way to make an original Rice Krispies treat better than a home-style version is to make those Krispies peanut butter-flavored and coat the whole thing in chocolate as well, which is exactly what these new chocolate peanut butter Rice Krispies treats do. Mm. And a very unique flavor to these ones. Like, it's not necessarily a peanut butter flavor that I think I've encountered elsewhere. It's very, very roasted, nutty, and, like, even slightly salty, which is not something I'd expect from a traditionally lightly flavored Rice Krispies based anything, really.
And yeah, it's more depth.
Yeah, the thick layer of like that waxy chocolate on the bottom. Like, I know in some instances you don't want a waxy chocolate, but when it comes to like a super like processed food based snack, it almost works like texturally to go
it's
with that chewiness.
Better, man.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Like gnawing it off, basically, and really,
yeah,
really unleashing my inner middle school self at lunchtime, that sort of
primal
brutality.
Yeah, like the Swiss cake rolls, like the outside coating of those would not be as satisfying if you didn't peel it off, but like what chocolate actually does that?
Yeah.
What real food does that?
So that was kind of my triptych, my Rice Krispies treats triptych of experience.
I kind of want one now, Dan, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Have you been eating any good cereal these past few weeks?
You know what I've been into these past couple of weeks? I got a bag of Honey Smacks.
Wow!
And it's been a long time since I had those, and they're so good. What I found is they are a really good mixer. with almost anything, unless it's like a fruity cereal. But other than that, it's just a great like note because it's not aggressively sweet. It's just like a very sort of like a nice sweetness, and there's like a heartiness to it from the puffed wheat in there. It's a delicious cereal. It's so good.
Yeah, that's definitely a unique one texturally. Like, you don't see a lot of other cereals able to get that same, like, man, how do you even describe that?
It's like a malty, honey,
yeah.
Syrupy. It's really good. It's really good.
I'll have to get one of those boxes again, too.
It's one of the earliest, like, sweet cereals, too, or, like, that sort of, like, style of, like, sweetened cereal that, like, puffed sweetened rice is, like, OG, basically.
Yeah, I don't know why they've never done anything with that brand flavor-wise. I guess they don't really need to.
It's perfect. I mean, yeah, it's exceptional. Dan, we have a question this week, and I wanted to frame to you first. If you were to frame cereal pieces like they were exotic moss in a glass shadow box, which ones would you choose and why? This question is inspired by a real-life cereal specimen case, complete with labels under each piece that someone found in a thrift store. The pieces look like they had faded considerably, so they must have occupied an honored spot on a sunny wall for a long time. Thank you for your show, Sarah in Canada.
Now that's a good question, because it really gets down to considering the sacred geometry of cereal pieces themselves and thinking about which ones are the most aesthetically beautiful, like completely independent of what they taste like, right? I would say the first one that immediately leaps out to me is Crispix, just because you have like the two different sides basically, and then they're also like fused into this sort of, man, I don't actually know my geometry well enough to say what sort of polyhedron it might look like, but I think like in a lighted shadow box that could cast some very interesting shadows out on the room, and that could be nice. Geometry-wise, I would also like a cross-section of a Quaker oatmeal square, because, like, you know, they look pretty cool on the outside, but if you, like, if you bite one in half and see that it's basically just a bunch of, like, thatched cereal noodles bundled together, that's how you really get the, like, the visual intrigue. And I would say the same applies to a Cracklin' oat bran as well, where if you really scrutinize one of those under a magnifying glass, it's quite frankly beautiful the amount of like pressed grain they're able to get into such a small little square. I want to see that.
I really, I think that the, like when you get a giant flake, like a really big one that doesn't seem like nature wanted you to have it.
Right.
Like it seems like its very existence is in defiance of the factory that created it. That's the kind of thing that I would want to pull out. Those sorts of like gigantic cocktail napkin sized flakes just kind of glom together. I'd love to grab rare artifacts like that.
Have you ever gotten like a big chunk of like flavor dust that wasn't supposed to be there in your cereal bowl?
Some of that, I get that with Fruity Pebbles from time to time, and that's a real crapshoot. Because sometimes there was a reason they didn't want you to eat it. You know, sometimes this is kept out for very good reasons.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually do have this little specimen jar on top of my fridge that I put a particularly large hunk of, like, Doritos flavor powder that I found in a bag inside of it. Just because I want to see what, like, time does to it. And it's been, like, over a year, and it still looks the same. I don't know what I'm expecting, but it's up there waiting.
Dan, thank you so much for recording the podcast with me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
I love hearing about all the latest cereals. This has inspired me to you think it's a good time to make a run? You think I should give it a couple weeks, let some of these new guys trickle in, some of the spring collection, or what do you think?
I would say so. Maybe wait like a week. I think some of these are starting to hit shelves, unless you really want to get like a big stack of Rice Krispies Treats.
Yeah.
Or maybe some K-pop themed Lucky Charms.
Thank you so much for listening. Dan, anybody else we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow. Bria Davis for creating our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our sweet, sweet Empty Bowl merchandise.
that is going to do it for us for this week on the Empty Bowl. Until next time, for Dan Gabear, my name is Justin McElroy. And as we say always on the Empty Bowl.
I mean, I'd say don't forget to drink the milk, but like we didn't have any cereal this week that requires milk. So, I mean,
don't forget your umbrella.
Yeah, that's important.
Making a run for Rice Krispie Treat.